Hello everyone, my name is Kate Decker and I am obsessed with exposing the truth of what happens when we ditch the autopilot, take our power back, and become the creators of our destiny. And I'm here to remind you that no matter who you are, where you come from, or what you've been through, you deserve to live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the Create Your Best Life Radio. Welcome back to the podcast. I cannot believe this is an episode 100. Like, what? And I am so excited to bring you a very special guest, a person that I'm obsessed with, Andrea Crowder, today in the interview. And originally, I had a very formal intro recorded, and then I was like, what the F? First of all, that's totally not Andrea's style. Second of all, I don't think that's my style. I just felt so much like, I don't know, pressure, and I re-listened to that intro, and I don't know, it just sounded like I had something stuck in my butt. So I was like, this is not it. This is not how I want to introduce such an important human to you guys and such a valuable human. So if you never heard about Andrea Crowder, first of all, her story is insane. She grew up in a trailer where like rats were running around the floor where she slept, became a stripper so that she could be an independent woman. And then to make it even more interesting, she became a teenage mom. Now, her pregnancy with her son shook her to the core in the best way possible, and now she is an incredible seven-figure entrepreneur living her absolute best life, and I cannot wait for you to listen to this interview and everything we talked about. I feel like I just like extracted everything I possibly could think of from her. I also shared a couple of things that I'm feeling a little nauseous. You guys are gonna hear it. I definitely tried to like cover it up and be totally cool, like, oh, what do you think about this? No, I was definitely sharing some things that I was going through as well. So let's dive right into it.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited and so nervous because I have an incredible guest today on the podcast, Andrea Crowder, and she is my total girl crush when it comes to like the coaching space right now. And I'm just so, so grateful that she is here with us. So welcome, Andrea. Hi.
Thank you. I'm blushing. I hate it when people say that. I'm like, ah, no, no. But thank you.
Well, I just feel like the coaching space, or the world in general, is just so full of fluff and bullshit, and I just love that you are like, You just give it to us straight, and I'm like, oh, I don't have time for bullshit. I don't think anyone has time for bullshit, and I definitely bought into it before, so like, you know, watching you, following you, learning from you is like music to my ears, so I'm so glad that you're
thank
here.
You
Yeah. So,
thank you. Me too. Thank you for inviting me.
So you guys, just so you know, kind of how I met Andrea, I always love to share, like, I'm not bringing random people, okay? I'm bringing people that stand out to me and also people that I have some connection with. And I first met Andrea in a mastermind that we were both part of with Stephanie Houston. And I didn't know her at all, but she just like popped up in there and said something. And the only thing that stuck out to me is that she said she is a military spouse. And I am a military spouse, and I don't actually see a lot of military spouses in the online space. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Seeing someone successful who like gets it and like has gone through the like moving and crazy things that happen in the military. And I started like kind of like paying attention to what she's doing, what she's up to. But it didn't buy anything until later on when you came out with Regulate. And I was like literally on the fence about to message you about it 1,000 times before I actually bought it. Cause I was like, I don't know, it sounds too good to be true. But then I got it and I got VAP and then I got a million other things. And I was like, okay, biggest girlfriend.
So the funny thing is I started my first online business because I was a military spouse. We were living paycheck to paycheck. Like we would argue over my ex stopping at the gas station, buying a $2 Mountain Dew. soda on the way home from work, and just like everything felt so stretched and so hard. And I had seen a girl in the network marketing space celebrate getting paid every single Thursday, and I was just like, she's out on boats all the time. What's how what Where's the money coming from? What's happening? And it was through her that I started my online coaching journey in the fitness space via network marketing. And I did that for 8 years straight. And it was such a huge thing for me. Like, I actually had a pretty big team of military spouses because we needed a way to be able to create something that was meaningful to us that could travel with us and that could oftentimes like supplement the money that we didn't have to be able to actually have a financially safe life. We were always kind of just like barely cutting it by, especially depending on the region that we were forced to live in. So yeah, that was the only reason that I started an online business was because I was a military spouse.
I love that. And me too, honestly, because I borrowed a book from the library being like, what can I even do as a military spouse? And there was
Yeah.
nothing. Like, I cannot be a
Right.
teacher, I cannot be a doctor, so need to start something else.
Right. I did the same thing too. I couldn't even afford to buy personal development books at first. I had to borrow books from the library, and I started to learn so much through just like reading other people's stories, autobiographies, and then I read The Secret, and oh no, I borrowed the book The Secret, and then I returned it and I watched the movie. But like, yeah.
I love
It's
that.
funny to
Library
think
for the
about those
win.
days. Library for the win. People like underutilize and underestimate how potent that freaking free library is. There's so much good stuff in there.
I agree. Okay, so now fast forward. Here you are, the pleasure over pressure movement queen, and you're obviously totally killing it, and you are like turning the industry and the online space upside down with like your approach. But I also know that some people don't know you, and they might be thinking like, okay, so she was a military spouse, boo-hoo, that's so hard, but still, she is a white privileged chick. What does she know about money or things being really hard? So for those of you who don't know you, did you grow up with a silver spoon in your mouth?
Financially, no, but you're right. There is some like element of privilege that automatically comes with a skin color for some people. And I did grow up with that, of course. And also, I had seasons of my life where we lived in a trailer in the middle of woods and didn't even have running water, and I had to use the bathroom outside, and my dad like dug a hole and built a box on top of it and screwed a toilet seat to the top of it, and that's where we went to the bathroom. And then there were other trailers that we lived in, other mobile homes that we lived in, where like we would be sleeping on the floor because it was a one bedroom and there was a bunch of us kids and my parents had the bedroom, and we're all on sleeping bags on the floor with rats. And I actually even forgot about that story until I interviewed my dad on my podcast. And yeah, there was no financial there was no financial privilege that I began with. But it's interesting. Do you guys, I don't know how old you are. You might be a little too young for this, or I don't know how well this game aged, but you guys ever play that game MASH where it was like mansion, apartment, shack, house? And you played this fun little game with like kids, and you figured out like if you were going to get married, how many kids you would have. And like it was a silly child's game. But I always knew that I would live in a mansion, but there was no reason why I would have known that. And I always saw myself with like a bedroom off of the main house for my mom or for family, and this main large house. And then in 2018, so not that long ago, I guess it was a long 6 years ago, I bought that house. And I was just like, I can't believe it. I have the $1 million house with the casita off the side for like guests and company, and a 7-bedroom house on the water in Florida. And I was like, there's no reason that any of this ever made sense because I was also a teen mom. And then I married into the military. I was married by 19. I was a military wife by 19. We're together for almost 2 decades before we ended up separating. And all of it, and I was like a stripper for a while. So it went from living in mobile homes, apartments. My stepdad was shot on a gang initiation when I was 14 years old, to me wanting to get out of the house and like start my life on my own. And I did that by becoming a stripper so I could financially afford to take care of my own bills. Was also selling drugs to the girls in the back room. And then I got pregnant at 19. So I was a teen mom. The father of my child left me because he got another girl pregnant within 2 weeks of me, and my life had completely imploded. So it was after I had my son that he was up in the middle of the night for one of those 2 a.m. feedings. He wasn't latching well. I had mastitis, and he's just crying, trying to eat. He's hungry, and I'm crying because I'm like, what am I doing? My whole life is in shambles, and I have this tiny human who depended on me. And I remember looking at him, and now my tears are falling onto his face, and you can't tell whose tears are whose anymore. And I'm just looking at this poor, innocent child that's completely dependent on me. And I remember saying aloud in the middle of the night, in the middle of the dark, in my dad's old rocking chair, I promise you that I'm going to become a woman that you can be proud of someday. And it was because I became a teen mom that I started on my journey of figuring out how to get my life together. But I certainly did not begin with any amount of financial privilege. And there was no immediate, like, oh my God, the next year I was a millionaire or whatever. No, that took another 10 years, but more than 10 years, actually. But it was the beginning of the decision to become a woman who could position herself for that someday, for sure.
Oh my gosh, you gotta do this to me. I'm like trying to not cry loud.
I know. I was like, shit, you're a new mom. That one's gonna get you. I knew it.
First of all, you were 19. I have no idea and have mad respect for you for doing that. I mean, I'm 31 and I'm barely handling like having a newborn, 2-month-old, and building a business because I scraped the old one and started from scratch, and it's just wild. And I just have crazy respect for you for doing that. But also at the same time, like, if not your child, then there's no better motivation, I would say, to change
A
your life.
1,000%. Yeah, absolutely. I'll say one of the benefits of being a teen mom is that you're just young enough to be dumb enough to think you can do it all. So I had that going for me. That was about it.
Nice. That's a good one. All right. So, how did you go from living in a trailer, being a stripper, dealing drugs, having a baby, and then also through separation to now becoming a self-made millionaire? Like, obviously, you said it didn't happen overnight, it didn't happen super fast, but in a way, it did. Like, 10 years can go by so fast. So, what helped you?
When I started network marketing, it's funny because this has been such a main topic of conversation with everyone I've been talking to today, and it goes back to community. When I started network marketing, and I was essentially you're like affiliate marketing for products that other people create that you just happen to, hopefully you happen to love. I did. I still use the products today, even though I don't actively grow that business anymore. And I remember thinking, I feel so good. I just want to help other people feel good too. And then when I got a taste of the community of like, wow, I'm a military spouse, but I can still have grounded friendships and community no matter where I go, I was like, okay, this is for me. And I would sell that opportunity with like, I don't even really know what this is. All I know is you're gonna love your friends. I have friendships right here in this little like pot called my business opportunity. They're gonna love you. And people would literally join based off of my enthusiasm. And I used to tell people excitement and enthusiasm trump skill because I was so sure that they were going to get a transformation in feeling held. And I knew that I had been starving for that. And that was a huge source of nourishment for me. And I loved creating and building community so much that I did that for 8 years straight and built a team of over 3,000 people. And that in itself set me up for who I became in terms of like having the leadership to be able to start new companies, manage people who were on my team, be able to have the nervous system and emotional capacity to be able to hold other people's salaries and whatnot. I didn't have that. I didn't start with that. It was scary enough to pay myself out of my business at first and later on other people. And now multiple six figures of like salaries going out every single year from my current company. And I'm like, I can't even believe that I can hold this today. So it took a lot of time to build that, but it started with this deep desire and has always been the deep desire to create community. And I think I'm lucky. People ask all the time, like, is it luck or is it skill? The luck for me was that I had such a genuine interest, hunger, energy, fire, and craving inside of me to build community for myself, but build it for other people too, because I knew how much it supported me. And last week I interviewed my dad and then one of my mentors, Allison Bird, on the same podcast interview, and we were talking about resiliency. And my dad goes, "They're one of the keys to being more agile and more resilient is to have other people surrounding you." It always comes back to that community when we fall. Is there someone where we can be like, just this morning, I messaged one of my team members and I'm like, I feel like a stormy ocean. I need you to be land today. And she knew exactly what that meant. And to be able to have that from other people and to be able to create that, I do believe that one of the greatest gifts that I have to offer people is I've built such a niche community of big thinkers, of people who are just like ready to have your back under all circumstances, that feel aligned and intuitive to them. And like the level of loyalty and the level of consistency, like you said, you bought one thing and then like kept coming, right? Like I'm on this journey where I'm always going to be 3 steps ahead of my customer, and also I'm going to bring them into groups of people where they can be on those steps with others, because having that around you is so it's nurturing. It can be crucial. Do some people do it on their own? Yes. And at what point do you like burn out, right? Like there's something around like resiliency, elasticity, energy, and all of that that comes from our community. And I think that it truly is like my secret sauce.
Agree. Your community is incredible, and it's just I always feel a part of it, you know, like no matter what I'm doing, what I'm up to, it's like we don't have to be going through the same things, and I still feel always
Right.
connected watching your stories or like whatever you're sharing. And another thing, the reason why I, you know, kept coming back or keep coming back and never leaving is that the results that I got, I'm gonna speak for myself, but I know a bunch of people got, like, they are real. There's actual transformation. Like, all their teachings are not just fluff. And I know that, you know, one of the tools that you use is rapid resolution therapy, which, like, you were the first one to introduce me to. Would you say that that played, like, a big part, in your success as well, like, finding modality that works for you?
Absolutely. Like I definitely hit a capacity to which like my nervous system could hold so much in my business. Like I was kind of teetering between 400,000 to 500,000 a year, which by any means is such a wonderful thing to be able to celebrate. That's not any failure by any stretch of the imagination, but I knew that I wanted to have like a global brand and I wanted to be able to serve way more people than I actually was. And so in order to expand what my business was able to hold financially or in terms of number of people, and I needed to do something that was going to support my nervous system. My mentor said the other week, nervous system regulation is the key to manifestation. And I'm a huge believer of that, because whatever your nervous system can hold is like where your capacity is at. And so being my first dip in using rapid resolution therapy in my business was, number one, walking out of my marriage. And being able to do that successfully, leaving someone that you've been with for almost 2 decades, is quite a tidal wave of an experience, and really challenging, because you're, even though you know, like, hey, this isn't the place for us to thrive together anymore and it's not working, your inner mind perceives your best chance of survival and partnership. And so like it kept wanting to move me back into something that wasn't creating aliveness inside of me anymore, and would actually was quite the opposite. And so I had a whole lot of lessons that I needed to learn through that, and I learned them really gently through RRT, using rapid resolution therapy to help my inner mind perceive best case chance of survival is actually through vitality, which is where I'm going, not where I've been. So just realigning like mind, heart, and energy where I'm headed versus trying to repeat patterns of the past. has been monumental. And now I use RRT almost every single day in my business since I'm trained in, and I often RRT myself. And when I can't, then I'll reach out and have usually Dr. Connolly or somebody who's trained in rapid resolution therapy. But how it impacted my business in a different way was like it re-educated me on how to create transformations for other people, even at a more one-to-many perspective. It changed my copy. I write differently. I create social media content differently. I record podcasts differently. I coach people differently. I'm able to use rapid resolution therapy, of course, in a one-to-one model, but I also figured out how to do it one-to-one, one-to-many, which hadn't actually been done before. I was, I believe, from what I know, the first person in the coaching industry to get trained in rapid resolution therapy. From what I could see from the people who were in like the different groups and the trainings with me, most of them were traditional therapists. And I'm over here like, ooh, don't call on me. I'm the weirdo coach. But I remember thinking, as soon as the coaching industry gets a hold of this, it's going to blow up because it was a pretty smaller, not as well known modality compared to like NLP or EMDR, a lot of that stuff. But it was the most efficient unconscious reprogramming tool or trauma resolution tool that I'd ever used. And it was the gentlest. I've healed rapes with RRT. I've healed emotional abuse, physical abuse. I've healed watching important people in my life being abused, like really deep traumatic stuff, so gently to where I'm like, I'm not bawling, I'm not reliving my traumas in order to free me of that, to where I can recall that those things occurred, but I don't have to resuffer them over and over and over. And once I started to feel how special that was, I was like, this is the key to my liberation and this is the key to the planet's liberation. And I'm going to tell everyone about this, as many people will give me a mic to listen, like you. So thank you.
Yes, I agree with you. I was always a proponent of like you don't have to dig deep to figure out what's wrong and like go back because that just
Yeah.
seems sometimes wrong. So for someone who's listening and he's like, okay, what is the rapid resolution therapy or like what's the difference between traditional therapy and this?
Yeah, so most of us are trying to change habits, feelings, behaviors, and thought processes at a conscious level, but the majority of those are stored at an unconscious level. So let's say you walk into a house and you're trying to turn on the basement light, but you do it on the first floor of the house and you're pulling the little lamp cord on the lamp, expecting that it's going to turn on the basement light and shed light down there. And it's not, right? Nothing's going to activate from that floor. You've got to go down to the basement in order to make the change. Well, the difference between conscious and unconscious is conscious mind understands logic and then unconscious doesn't compute. So when we're saying, I want to make this change, or I don't want to suffer this trigger anymore, or I want to feel safe to be extremely visible on social media or whatever, but I'm holding myself back, oftentimes where people are saying, just decide, just do it, the Nike motto. And we're just trying to overcome that with more discipline, right? And instead of using the language that unconscious understands, which is metaphor and symbolism. And so rapid resolution therapy is all built off of metaphor and symbolism. So I can use different story or different processes to change the information and how the unconscious mind is reading information in order to help someone create a new habit, a new thought process, or a new emotional signature around an event that happened or something that could be happening. So it's a very, very powerful tool. And when most people are saying, like, I'm my own worst enemy, rapid resolution therapy would say, absolutely not. You are your own greatest ally. And it's just that you have felt the sensation of that because when you try to go where you want to go, you've felt these roadblocks in the way over and over, and you're perceiving that you're the problem. And I would say you are from a certain aspect, because I like you being the problem. That means that you're also the solution. So you hold the power. And also, rapid resolution therapy gives you different keys in order to unlock that new phase. And then all of a sudden, that barrier just like disintegrates. And you're like, oh, I'm free to move. An example of this was I had a client who had purchased my program, Amore Money. And Amore Money is all around like changing the way you feel in the habits of managing your money. And she was like, Andrea, I can't even start the program. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I did some rapid resolution therapy with her because she was feeling resistance and even opening the program to begin to listen. We looked for the root of that. We melted the resistance within, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. And then the next day she was in the program and she was doing it. So that like perception of barrier just got disintegrated and cleared for her. Whereas most of the world, like talk therapy and stuff like that, is like, let me show you how to cope. Let me show you how to be more disciplined. Let me show you how to exert more like power and more energy when all of that like exerted energy isn't quite necessary most of the time, as long as you have, it's like getting your head and your heart to be in alignment so you have full capacity to move forward towards something.
I love that. And I also will add, when I was first listening to Regulate, one of the first programs that I remember from you, I remember listening to those audios and I was like, this is so freaking weird. And I
It's
think
weird.
that's the perfect thing about it, because it's like a lot of times all of these traditional, even coaching, is just like, yeah, I heard that, I know that. But I feel like the metaphors and the stories, because they're just sometimes so bizarre, it gets you like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And like, really, it's so easy to shift and just feel shifted without even knowing what happened.
So that's where you're bringing, when we're bringing awareness, so we have like conscious buy-in and unconscious buy-in into it, it creates more power. So I was actually just studying how to help people with addiction, with like vaping or smoking or whatnot. And one of the interesting things that Dr. Connolly was teaching is he's like, in the beginning, when you first started to smoke, there was this level of awareness where you wouldn't be lighting your first cigarette and taking your first left driving a car at the same time. It would be too much. You need too much awareness for both. But then there comes a point where you don't need conscious awareness anymore to do either. So you can drive a car, you can smoke a cigarette, you can do it both at the same time because conscious awareness went out of the building. So RRT is different because, the way that we use metaphors and stories is a very, very untraditional way of thinking, and it brings conscious awareness back in, but also speaking in a way that unconscious both understands. So one of the tools, and I won't explain the whole process, but one of the tools that he was explaining to this couple who was helping smoke is like, smoke different packs of cigarettes that you've never used. So for every pack, change brands and then lower the amount of nicotine within each brand. And then put a filter on top of the beginning of each cigarette. So every part of it feels weird. It feels different because then you're bringing conscious back into it. And he's like, you can smoke as much as you want to, but as soon as it doesn't seem appealing to you anymore, you can stop because you could light another one if you wanted. But now that you're switching brands, you're super focused on what you're doing. He's like, just make sure it's the only thing you're doing. If you're walking up to your partner and you're like, I want to kiss you. And she's like, yes, kiss me. And so he leans in to kiss her, but at the same time, he's going over to the side so he can watch the game behind her. She pushes him away and she's like, no, if you want to kiss me, just kiss me. Right. Like, so we wouldn't approach kissing our partner and bringing that level of like pleasure and connection into something, but also be watching TV because it would create a disconnect in that connection. So he's like, bring full connection into it. You can have as much as you want. You can put it out. You can light another one. I don't care. But I want you to bring full awareness into it. And then also imagine celebrating at the end what you're doing when you don't really care about it anymore. When like the air smells differently because you can smell it clean and clear. When you take that drive and you're like, oh, this is a smoke-free car now, et cetera. So there's like so much conscious awareness brought into the change of behaviors, whereas most people are like, let's say you're trying to quit eating a certain food, switch brands first and be fully, fully, fully present with that food. You can have as much as you want of it. You can throw it away. You can have some more, but switch brands often. Don't be surprised if you don't eventually like the taste. And then it's cool if you don't like the taste because the point is to not want to like it over time anyway. And eventually you're going to lose interest in it because you've brought all that consciousness back into it. And that is the power of RRT. RRT in general for a lot of like habit shift and transformation is usually more automatic with a single one. But if you want to bring something into, I know you asked me, like, can you give people like a tangible that they can take away themselves today? This would be one of them. You want to break a habit, then bring way more conscious awareness into every single step of it, and then change it, and then change it, and then change it, and see if you eventually lose interest in doing it in the first place.
That's so freaking awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that example. Okay, so now let's bring it back to the pleasure over pressure, right? So that's a big theme for you. And I know it's a big theme when it comes to also you helping other entrepreneurs to essentially make money without that pressure. What would you say to someone who's like, okay, I want to like not have that pressure. I want to believe that I can have that like yumminess and pleasure and make that money. But there is something in me that like doesn't believe it. Or like how do you get even, I don't want to say get away with it, but how do you get away with it with a lot of entrepreneurs who built their businesses on that like grit and discipline and all of that stuff and just kind of breaking that habit?
Well, in order to go further and to increase your capacity to have more, which pretty much everyone wants because progress is our kink. We like that. We always want more. We always want the next level. And then I would ask, like, would it be more helpful to have more energy or less energy in order to do that? And most people are going to say more energy, right? We hit a capacity because we typically have like an energy issue, right? And so what I would say is, well, when you're doing something that feels like intuition, creativity, pleasure, fun, joy, do you have more energy or less energy? And they're like, more. And I was like, and when you do something out of obligation, do you have more energy or less energy? And they're like, less. And I'm like, okay, so you're telling me that if our secret is to have more fuel, and we get it when we make decisions through the lens of this will increase my life force energy, this activity, this decision will feel energy rich. And I want to add the caveat of the placing your attention at the end of it. Sometimes it doesn't feel like I'll have more energy when I do the workout. It's like I'm going to actually feel less energy, but over time there's an increase of energy. So we're looking at having done it, and we place our attention at the end, and we ask ourselves, does this feel an energy increase or an energy decrease? If it's an increase, it's yes, it's a pleasure-based decision. And when we stack those over and over and over and over in our business, we have a business that we can sustain forever. Like, I'll be 85 still running a business at some point, I'm sure, because it makes me feel alive. And a lot of people start their business that way and it feels fun and exciting. And then all of a sudden, it's like, I got to keep it up. I got to make more money than I did the last month. And then we make a switch. We start making decisions out of obligatory energy versus alive energy, which would be pleasure over pressure. It's just more simply said that way for most people. So, or fear-based energy, right? So it's like, I have to take this client in order for me to meet my income goal. But then this client, you're like, this client takes up so much energy that you don't launch the other thing next month because they're asking you 1700 questions because they weren't ready for you. If you're coaching people or if you're launching something or creating a product, like aliveness breeds more aliveness, fear breeds more fear. So we're thinking like, well, this will solve my problem for today. In reality, what you just did was you filled up your passenger seat with somebody who's actually going to help drain the tank faster, oftentimes complain and say they need to stop and pee more often than you would actually really like to. And then you're not getting to where you want to go as fast. Whereas if you had just said no, the universe would have been like, okay, that didn't meet the standard. Hold on, I got a better option for you. Right? Hold on, it's like swiping in the apps if you're dating or whatever. Like the more you swipe and the more you say no to what's not right for you, the better the options that you're delivered are. Like the algorithm starts to understand your needs, your desires, and your wants. Well, there's a universal algorithm that's going to start to understand your universal needs, wants, and desires for your business as well. And it's when we play with that algorithm, that the quantum algorithm specifically, that we start to notice that, like, your whole, I can't even look at a single person on my roster where I'm just like, I love this shit. I can't believe I get to do this shit. I can't believe I get to serve this person. I can't believe this person pays me that much when I'm like, I feel like I should be paying them because I'm almost learning more from them than they even do from me. And like my whole business is built off of that now.
I hear you. I agree with you. And I remember myself from when I started my business, I had such a hard time saying no to those draining clients or to people that I was like, I'm not really sure. Because there's that, yeah, but what if no one else comes? What if it doesn't happen? What if it doesn't work this way for me? Right? Like there's that fear of it sounds good to say yes to only to the good things, but what if? How did you get over that? Because I'm sure when you started your business, there was a time when you also felt that like pressure.
I'm saying, yeah, sign them up and you'll see how fast that pays off for you. Because the question that I wasn't asking in the beginning was, if I say yes to this money, how much will it actually cost me? That one little question was like, oh shit. By saying, I remember saying yes to this painful $10,000 client, and it cost me way more than $10,000 in future revenue because of the load that I was carrying with them. So there is this element of, I don't like the word faith, but what I like to do is I like to say, look for evidence in which I know I can win. So if I say no to this, where was a time previously? Maybe I'm new to business, but I can find this evidence somewhere else in my life. Where was a time where I had evidence that I said no and something better came? Because if like I said, if the seat's full, the seat's full. So if all the seats in your car are full and you can't take anyone else, and now you'll have three people who are like, potty break, potty break. How much is that going to cost you in total revenue? It might be, you might need to take that person on and you might need to just suck it up, in which case I'm saying, like, find a way to make it fun then. Find a way to bring the most alive energy that you possibly can in that process. I'm just saying that there's eventually going to come a point where you're going to realize this is coming at too great of a cost. Make the switch. But it's okay if you have to learn the hard way first. I did too.
I love
There's nothing
that.
wrong with any of the ways.
True, totally. And I like that you also said, like, if you need to take that person, then take that person, and like, you're gonna learn your lesson or you're gonna get what you need out of it. Because I think that's also something
Sure.
that is understated, because it's easy to be like, I'm just going to trust when you're a complete newbie, like, just starting
Yeah.
out, and you really need the money. Well, sometimes you do need to suck it up to learn the lesson and to show up, I guess, better to attract the right people or to only
Yeah.
say yes to when it's worth it. Okay, so I think I have just a few more questions. I know I'm like taking all of the gold out of you. I know that for me, right now, as a new mom and running a business, there is a point in me that I feel, believe, whatever, that it needs to be hard, that I need to struggle, because if I didn't, it would be unfair. If I had too much fun, if it was too easy for me as a mom and a business owner, it would like not be fair to other people. And it's almost as if I want to wear my struggle as a virtue.
Who do you care more about seeing your virtue, and what do you want to teach her? You said you have a daughter, right? Because if your daughter's co-regulating from you, which she is as a child, as a baby, and as a young child, children don't know how to regulate their own emotions, so they co-regulate with their parents. And so if in order to make something fair for Jan seven cities away, you make it unfair for her by being in struggle and by being in suffering, how good are you with that? Not, right? You're like, wait, no, I'm not going to struggle harder in order to make it harder for my daughter, my offspring, to co-regulate off of me and to make her experience of me worse in order to make it fair for this person that I don't even know. But here's what I know is to be true, is if you focus on this process of like most aliveness, making decisions that feel energy rich when thinking about having done it, and then bring energy into the actual process, that aliveness, that capability, that energy, that joy, there's overflow. And guess what happens is you're sitting there breastfeeding your baby, or you're holding your baby, and the overflow goes into their essence, into their aura. And also, what I know to be true about me is people come to me, and like the first thing that they say to me is like, I'll have what she's having, because they like my energy before they even know who I am, and before they even know that I have something different and interesting to say for them. So they meet my energy first, and they instantly get an uplift when people are like, oh, I don't want to show up for the coaching call today, or a friend's like, oh, I'm just in a down mood. I'm not sure if I should like rub my mood off on you. And I was like, sister, I'm gonna rub my mood off on you. You show up, you get in the passenger seat of my car, and I promise you, you're gonna upregulate to me. What I'm looking to do is I'm looking to hold the frequency of joy, inspiration, capacity, overflow, creativity, interest, appeal, and all of that, so that I have so much overflow that not just my children, but the whole fucking planet could eventually upregulate to me. That's the posture that I want to hold as much as humanly possible. Of course, we have our days, but then I upregulate with other people. I go find other people. I'm like, who can I upregulate to today? But I would say that it would be the most fair for you to have all of that extra overflow, so that when somebody, especially your own offspring, is like, I need, I need, I need, you have more than enough to offer. You're not decreasing your battery even more in order to give. That feels the most fair to me.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here. I know we were here for a while, but I'm just like, you're brilliant to ask you everything.
Thank you.
Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners? Something that we maybe didn't touch on?
I think like what my heart just wants people to know is that there are gentler, easier solutions in 2024 to all of our problems than we even know. And so when we feel stuck, when we feel under-resourced, when we feel under-regulated, when we feel like we don't have enough energy or battery or capacity, we oftentimes recreate that by affirming it. And what I like to do is just to ask, like, where would this not be true? Where could I be resourced? Who's more resourced in this? Who can I ask for help? And like women especially, we've been told that there's this nobility and suffering around being like the solo, the person who does everything. And I have learned that my ability to serve my children, my community, myself has exponentially increased because of my ability to reach out and say, what do you think about this? Or can you help me with this? Or when I feel watery, can I ask someone to be land for me? And that creates this like deeper level of potency and power to be able to help other people. And anybody who's listening to your podcast today, since this is who you are, I'm going to assume it's who they are too. You guys have a bigger vision of doing good work in the world for more than just yourself. And so I consider that your divine obligation is to ask for help and to ask a question. Stop making statements about what you've seen and ask a question about how it could be different. And that's how I found rapid resolution therapy and a ton of different other magicians and resources in this world, like Dr. Connolly and the amazing people that surround me today, is because I was willing to ask a question about how could this be different, or how could I find a new truth here in order to change my life and many other people's as well.
Amen to that. Thank you so much. So, the one question I ask everyone is, what does a dream life look like to you? What's a
I'm
dream
getting to do
life for
whatever the
Andrea?
fuck I want every day. And
Yes.
that's what I built my life into. Like every single day, I get to wake up and I get to choose what I want. And I move my schedule based off of what feels good and correct to my intuition. And I have built such an exceptional life, surrounding myself with amazing people and getting to work on special projects, getting to work with remarkable people, and like the richness within my life because of relationships and because of access and opportunity to doing what I want, because I was so loyal to the values that I've shared with you guys today. I'm living the dream life absolutely right now.
Yay, I love that. So obviously now everyone is obsessed with you. They want more of you. Where is your favorite place to hang out?
My podcast, The Unruly Entrepreneur, and then Instagram is primarily. And if you guys want to jump on our email list and get some freebies, I have these cool guided wealth visualizations. One's called I Could Never Spend It All, and the other one is I'm a Motherfucking Millionaire. And those are some of our top freebie downloads. So you guys can just DM me love underscore Andrea Crowder, and just DM me the word wealth, and you guys will be able to get those freebies. We'll give you a coupon code too for your audience for Regulate. I know that that was a transformational program for you, so we'll make sure your audience gets a coupon code if they want to test that out.
Perfect. Thank you. And I just wanted to say, I listened to the I'm a Motherfucking Millionaire meditation a million times. And honestly, it is
Yeah.
the bomb. So, yes.
Yes. We get that feedback a lot. I created that forever ago, and it's still like one of the most downloaded ones.
It's so good. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to listen to it right now. So I might do it right after.
Yeah,
Well, thank you so much, Andrea, for being here, for all of your time, for all of your wisdom. I'm so grateful that you took the time to be here with us today. Thank you.
my pleasure.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved it, please let me know by leaving a short review here on the podcast app and take a screenshot of the episode and tag me on your Instagram stories at XOKDecker so that I can keep your favorite topics coming. And until next time, let's create your best life.